And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Carter Brantley. Carter, how you feeling?
Oh, feeling great, man. We're just like a week away, you know, I think almost on the dot, right? Yeah. Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, we will be in hotly anticipating the Rays season opener. So
that's right. Yeah. So opening day right around the corner. Hell yeah. Yeah. Super excited. For sure.
Are you planning on watching it from home? Or are you going to go out and watch it? What are you thinking?
I'm going there. I'm going to be at the game.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm going to be at the Thursday game and the Saturday game. My parents and I are going just as a little family trip to St. Pete. And we're just going to, you know, spend the weekend at the beach, go to some Rays games. It should be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for sure. Yeah, so I'll be at opening day watching the big F, whatever you want to call him.
The big F.
Yeah, that's right.
We may go Zach and Zach to start the season.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, Zach and Zach. The Zach attack, yeah. Sure as a fellow Zach, you're pretty excited about that. We've got two Zachs on the RBLR team, so it's fitting that the Rays.
Zach stack.
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of stack, that's what this show is. Absolutely stacked, because we've got a lot to talk about. We're breaking down the Rays. We broke down the other teams in the American League East. Anything you can want to know leading into the season, the roster. Who's going to be doing the pitching? Who's going to be doing the hitting? We're going to talk about what our expectations are, who we think is going to break out this year, who might have a tough year, and who, you know, is just going to bounce back from maybe a rough year in the previous year. And we're going to talk about what, at the end of the day, what our expectations are for this team, set some levels and see what could be the best case scenario, what could be the worst case scenario. We're going to talk it all. Everything you need to know to come back into the race season is going to be right here. If you are just joining us, you've been snoozing through the off season. Now is the time to join back up, because we're going to give you everything we need. We're going to give you a crash course on everything you need to know going into this season. It's all right here in this little Rays primer. And if you are just joining us, coming back from the off season, do us a favor, like, subscribe, join us as we're going through this 2024 season. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a really great season. Not going to spoil too much, but I think it's going to be a good season. So do us a favor, like and subscribe. If you're on Spotify, drop us a follow, and just wherever you're watching this from, share us around, because we're going to have all the best Rays content to drive your way all throughout this offseason. And hey, next time we record, next time we're on this mic, Rays games in the regular season will have been played. Doesn't get any better than that, my friends.
No, it does not. Technically, the regular season already started with the Dodgers Padres.
That is true.
Technically, it's kind of silly, like going to the regular season then back to spring training. I don't really get it. But officially for me, starts next Thursday, you know, because that's when the Rays play. So that's the only thing that matters.
Some weird games, too. I don't know if you watched them or like follow them at all. Weirdly, like last night's game was like super, or this morning's game, I guess, super high scoring, super weird, like 15-11.
Yeah, very strange.
Yamamoto got lit up, went an inning. Like, mm-hmm. if you're one of those people who were like, oh, I don't know about the Dodgers rotation, you got to be looking pretty good right now. Although Glasnow was good, but I mean, like five runs, one inning, not a good look.
For sure.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So speaking of people that we will see or maybe not see, we're going to start off with some news has been bubbling around, mostly some injury stuff. Unfortunately, we've had, I was expecting to just kind of go over some of the stuff we already knew. Unfortunately, there's new stuff because that's spring training. Jonathan Aranda broke his hand. I believe it was a fielding mishap today, is what I saw from Tompkin. That he was fielding the ball, messed his hand up wrong, broke his hand. The expectation is 4 to 6 weeks. It's pretty normal for any kind of broken bone for him to be out, which is really unfortunate because Aranda was making a really strong case to make the opening day roster. So that's a really tough blow for him. I hope he has a speedy recovery and kind of, you know, he's always going to have a good shot at the roster because he's a left-handed bat. So he should have a shot when he gets back to healthy, but he is going to start the season on the IL.
Yeah, it sucks, man, because, I mean, you know, obviously you want everyone to be successful. You want everyone to play well. So in that case, you know, he could unfortunately lose that roster spot. You know, maybe Richie Palacios comes out on fire with his head on fire and plays plays his butt off. Maybe Amon Rosario becomes, you know, the super utility guy that I think we all expect him to. And then Aranda doesn't have a roster spot just because he broke his hand and had this unfortunate injury. But, you know, he's still a great player. I'm sure he'll bounce back. And like you said, hopeful for a speedy recovery.
It's as the great Ben Whitelaw always says, roster, you know, roster issues are just a societal construct. They always work themselves out. Log jams are a societal construct. They always work themselves out. Speaking of other log jams that have cleared themselves out, Taj Bradley, which was part of a pitching log jam to begin the season, he's expected to miss opening day as well. We could potentially see him miss most of April. There hasn't been a whole lot of news on him. But we do know that he is expected to miss most of April and definitely opening day. Josh Lowe has an oblique strain. He's going to miss opening day as well. So there's two roster spots that are now cleared up. Johnny DeLuca, he is also still dealing with an injury, and we expect him back probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We'll see if he can get back on the roster. I would expect when he is back from injury for him to challenge pretty strongly for a roster spot. But what do you think?
Yeah, no, his center field experience plays really up on this roster just because they don't really have a lot of other backup center fielders for Siri. I'd expect his roster spot to be pretty secure simply because of his glove and his, you know, his positioning or his, you know, his center field positioning rather. And I'm really excited. I think he's got a lot of upside. So I'm hopeful that he can come back and, you know, continue his upward trajectory, if you will.
Yep. And so that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. The other good, in all the sort of rough injury news we've had, I've got some good news for you. And you may have missed this one if you weren't really paying attention. Tompkin put out over the last couple of days that Jeffrey Springs has started throwing again. Ooh. So I believe he threw off a mound. So that is good news. Jeffrey Springs is throwing. It's a long way out still. We don't expect him back until closer to the trade deadline, which is why you see me tweeting on Twitter. And I'm going to keep saying it. I've said it once. I'm going to say it again. The Rays are going to have the best trade deadline, and they may not even add anyone. So it's coming. I'm telling you.
Yeah, dude, him and Rasmussen, they're going to be the two starters that just come in the middle of the movie to save the day, you know, whatever blockbuster film that comes to your mind, or the Avengers, you know, calling in the reinforcements, whatever. Yeah, that's them. You know, they're going to come in, save the day, and hopefully guide the Rays to yet another postseason appearance. And that's going to be really exciting. Like you mentioned, they don't even need to trade anybody. Is going to have some reinforcements coming in naturally. So pretty hyped for that.
I think if we're going to use the coming in to save people analogy, I think Luke and Han are Jeffrey Springs and Shane Boz because they're coming in kind of towards the middle of the movie to start saving it. And then Drew Rasmussen is Han Solo at the very, very end. Sorry, spoilers if you've never seen Star Wars, which you should if you haven't. That's Drew Rasmussen at the very end of the movie. That's where he comes in. Anyway, enough Star Wars. Let's talk about the roster. Sorry if you've never seen Star Wars, although I don't know what you've been doing for the last, like, all of your life if you haven't. Let's talk a little about the roster. So there's definitely still some discussion out there about who's going to make the final roster, but there are some things we know pretty confidently, and that's most of the starters. So I'm going to run real quick through the starters. We'll get to where there is a little bit of consternation at the end, but most of them are pretty set. At the catching spot, it's going to be Rene Pinto. Not really much debate there. First base, once again, no debate. Yandy Diaz is going to start there. Second base, Brandon Lau is going to be there. You're going to get Isak Paredes at third. We'll skip over shortstop because there is a little bit of discussion, but not a lot. Left field is going to be Randy Arozarena. No shock there. Center field is going to be Jose Siri. And then we get to our last two starting positions, shortstop and right field. Now, I will tell you, and you may disagree with me on this, Carter, I right now have Jose Caballero as the starting shortstop, and I have starting in right field Richie Palacios for opening day. Do you disagree or agree?
I do not. I totally agree. I love Palacios. I'm big on him. I'm big on all the bench guys, really. Palacios, Rosario, although Caballero is technically a starter, but yeah, I'm really high on all three of those guys. I thought those were some of the most underrated acquisitions in all of baseball in the offseason. So yeah, Palacios definitely. If you want to platoon Palacios and Rosario, whatever terminology you want to make. I expect Rosario and Palacios to spend quite a bit of time in either of the corner outfield spots, whether it's right or left. So, but yeah, Palacios for me is the starter in right field to start the year, especially. And I'm super excited for Caballero. I think his on-base percentage is going to play up as well as his speed. You know, I know that he is a super fast guy, and with the new rule changes, stolen bases are a big thing. So I think the Rays are kind of capitalizing on that. I think you saw quite a bit of it last year, and I think the Rays are just going to be like, "Hey, Jose, come on, big dog! Like, let's get it cracking. You know, let's steal some bases, let's swipe some bags." And that's super exciting. I love that style of play, so I'm super hyped for both of those guys.
Speed seems to be something that they're really leaning into this mm-hmm. season. Ahmed Rosario has like 99 grade speed, insane. Super, super fast.
For sure.
Or 80 grade, 99 percentile speed. Yeah, very, very fast. Blasios is not as speedy, but Caballero is. So you've got a lot of speeds, and we know speed kills, and hopefully we're going to be killing our enemies. The fun thing about Caballero as well, beyond what he's kind of been able to do just from a production standpoint, he messes with pitchers. He is
the Garrett Cole thing.
Mm-hmm. Just watch his at-bats. He will mess with you. He'll mess with your timing. He will be generally annoying as much as you're allowed to be in today's MLB where you can't step out of 100 times. I would have loved to watch him go up against Garrett Cole in the old days where you could literally do whatever you want, step out mm-hmm. as many times. Those would have been fun at-bats because he just is a pest in the box, and I'm excited to see that happen. The last starting spot is DH. Now, I think this one goes to Harold Ramirez at the moment. While we've had discussions about some of the young guys coming in, I don't know that any of them have shown enough to kick Harold out of his starting spot, at least for opening day. You agree, disagree?
Yeah, I'm solid on Harold. I'm a little bit surprised they haven't dealt him up to this point. There was a lot of discussion about it. I know his value to the Rays and the value that they could return might not match up, you know. And he provides a lot in the clubhouse, I'm sure, because he just seems like a high energy, really high character kind of guy. And I love him. I'm glad he's still in a Rays uniform. But just, studying the Rays way or the Rays philosophy, I am a little bit surprised that they weren't more active about dealing him. But, I'm super excited to see him in the DH spot. He just finds a way, plays real hard. And it's an adventure when he's out in the field. So I'm kind of hoping that they can just relegate him to exclusive DH spot for the regular season for sure.
So with that kind of rounds up our starting nine. Now, this is where things get interesting. So traditionally, on the 26-man roster, traditionally the Rays have kept 13 pitchers and 13 hitters. At times, they've messed around with it a little bit, but that's generally been very consistently what they do. And 13 pitchers, I believe, is the requirement now from MLB. So it's going to be 13 and 13. So that leaves us four remaining spots. Now, one of them is, I believe two really, are kind of spoken for pretty confidently. And that is the backup catching spot with Alex Jackson. There's really not been much competition for the backup spot. They've been pretty clear that that's what's going to happen there. And then we look to the backup outfield spot. Now, the reason I say the backup outfield spot in particular is kind of locked in is because this is something they've done almost very, very consistently over the last couple of years. They have had a backup outfielder, specifically one who can play center field. So that kind of narrows it down a little bit because they specifically want to have a backup center fielder. This is complicated by the fact that Josh Lowe is injured because while he is not a natural center fielder, he can play there and be a like league average defender there. Randy can do it as well, but it is not ideal. We saw him make some fun plays the other day in center field. He can do it. I do not think the Rays want him doing it like consistently because he kind of plays defense to the level of his competition. I don't know how else to say it. He just kind of, he plays like, selectional defense, mm-hmm. but he can do it if you have to.
For sure.
That being said, I think what they're going to look for in that outfield spot is someone who plays center field confidently. There's only a couple guys that really do that. What are your thoughts on who's going to have that spot?
Yeah, I think Jake Mangumstone stands out to me. Just because of, like you said, the comfort level with the center field spot. And for that reason, I think he might, get in there. To counter with the Randy thing, I think it's so interesting. Like, he's just such a fascinating baseball player because, like you said, he gets bored out there. He looks uninterested in baseball sometimes. So I feel like with those uber talented guys who just get kind of uninterested, like maybe moving him to center might be like, hey man, like you're moving to center, and be like because apparently his eyes lit up, he got all excited about playing center field. So maybe that's something that you can kind of sprinkle in throughout the season just to kind of keep him engaged, make sure that he's not drifting off into, no pun intended, Randy land or anything. But definitely Mangum's the pick for me, for sure. But I'm not super excited about Randy playing center because, like you said, it's not an ideal fit. But at the same time, I do think it could be kind of an interesting way to mix things up throughout the season.
If you don't recognize the name Jake Mangum, don't worry about it. He was not with the Rays last year. He's been with the Mets previously, with the Marlins previously. He is now with the Rays. In spring training, he has had played in 16 games, 28 at-bats, 33 plate appearances. He has hit to a .393 batting average, .485 on base, .607 slugging, a 1.092 OPS, which we don't, you know. It's spring training. However, still what you want to see people performing at, you know, at a high level if the competition is maybe not that high, or maybe your pitchers aren't always trying to get you out every single at bat, which occasionally happens because they're working on something. So right. He's doing what you're supposed to do, which is really what we needed to see, because I think this would have been a little bit of a concern going into the season if nobody was really playing at a high level. He's playing hot. We do not need him to, you know, be starting in center field. I don't know how many starts he's even going to get really at all. I don't think personally he's going to start in either the left or the right field spot. I just kind of don't think so. I think you're going to either see the next guy we're going to talk about start there, or Palacios start there. But he will be able to spell Siri if needed, or if he gets hurt, until Johnny DeLuca returns from his injury. And at that point, I think DeLuca comes in and takes that spot. But for opening day, I think Mangum, because he's performed well so far, is gonna take that spot. He's played plus defense there over the last couple seasons, which is really what they look for in this backup outfielder spot. They like the backup outfielder to be able to play, you know, hit a little bit, but really what they're looking for is their ability to play defense there in that spot and be confident. Manuel Margot for quite a few seasons was in that role. Mm-hmm. And while he did have some really great moments hitting wise, and the Rays really appreciated that, the defense is what they're really looking for there, to have the backup there, because they value playing really good outfield defense, which is what all teams should do, but they're going to do that. So we look to Jake Mangum, probably is going to get the backup outfielder / backup center fielder spot coming out of spring training. We got two spots left now. So we got the second to last spot is going to go, I think, to utility guy, which I think is going to be Amed Rosario, because he's signed to a contract that is a major league contract. So we expect him to play at the major leagues. And he has also played really well in spring training. And with the injuries that are out there right now, he has great versatility. He can play the outfield. He can play in the infield. He can play kind of anywhere you need him to. He probably is not going to play center, but he definitely could play right. So you've got a really versatile guy who's performing well. I think he's a lock personally for the opening day roster.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they wouldn't give him $1.5 million, you know, whatever the salary number was. I think it was $1.5 million, but they wouldn't give him that if they weren't serious about him making the opening day roster. And he's got some experience. I mean, he's one of the more experienced players on this kind of young roster. So yeah, I'm really excited to see him play. He had that spell at Driveline in the offseason, which is always a great sign, you know, trying to work on his game. Cause he's always been super gifted athletically, like one of the fastest guys in baseball. We've already talked about it on this episode. So if he can kind of just up his hitting numbers, maybe get a little more pop out of that bat, I think that would be really exciting. So I think he's going to earn that bench spot opportunity just to be able to, like you said, move around everywhere. Great utility guy. Super excited to see Amed Rosario in a Rays uniform in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy that's going to light the world on fire offensively, although he is kind of 100, a little bit over 100 WRC plus for his career. So that's kind of what you'd expect from him, what we expect to see from him. And that's really all you need. He's super fast, so he's a weapon on the base paths. He's going to play pretty good defense, and he's going to give you a little bit of utility with the bat, which is what you look at from that utility spot. The interesting question will be when Taylor Walls returns from injury, which we expect sometime in April, him to get back healthy and to be available again, what do the Rays do at that point? Does Rosario play well enough that Walls becomes kind of superfluous and they look to move Walls? Do they look to move Rosario? What's the move going to be there? Because I don't see a world personally where Walls and Rosario are on the same roster at the major league level. But I don't know. I just think that they're going to want that / bench spot that we're about to talk about next to be for someone that's going to provide a little bit more pop personally. But maybe you see it differently. But that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Walls is going to bring some kind of interesting things to the mix. Same with Aranda. You know, once Aranda comes back, I mean, there's just a lot of kind of interesting things for the Rays to explore. I don't know what they do with that when it comes to fruition, whenever it happens. I'm really interested to see how it all plays out. But, you know, obviously it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have too many infielders or outfield. It's too much depth. And that's always a good thing. Because like you said, Ben said, you know, depth too much depth is not a thing. Like, that's just a societal construct. Yeah. And, you know, the Rays had too much depth on paper entering the spring training, and obviously it's worked itself out. So I'm guessing the same will probably happen in the regular season. But if it doesn't, it's a good issue to have for sure.
Lost in kind of the shuffle of the offseason was that Taylor Walls was kind of tagged as the opening day starter at shortstop for the mm-hmm. Rays for a significant portion of this offseason. And only when it was clear that he was going to be hurt and not available for opening day did they make the move to get Caballero and bolster that shortstop position. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen when he returns. I think Caballero supplanted him at this point because I think he provides a little bit more value, because I've just not seen Walls do it at the major league level with the bat consistently. So I think we're going to get Caballero going forward. But it'll be very interesting to see what they do. And you make the great point, and I talk about this all the time, roster construction. The Rays roster is constructed in such a way that they can have one or multiple starters be injured for a month or two period of time and be okay. That's good roster construction. You cannot expect a team to construct a roster in such a way that if they lose one of their starters for the entire season, that they're just going to be fine. That's a little bit too much to expect. What you should be doing if you are constructing a roster is creating a roster that they can survive without multiple or at least one starter for at least a month or two, because that's pretty much, if you look across baseball, no team is going through the season with all their starters all the time. You're going to lose a starter for a month. And so having a roster construction in such a way when you can have at least league replacement level play in that spot when you lose that guy available is good roster construction. And that is what the Rays have. And we've already seen it now. They have lost a starter on the pitching side, a starter for sure on the offensive side. And you could argue that Walls was a starter and they lost him too. They created a system where they had the depth to handle that. And that is why the Rays are the best run org in baseball. And that is a clinic on roster construction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's people mostly talk about, you know, the pitching aspect of it when it comes to depth, because obviously pitchers are just getting hurt left and right, unfortunately, especially nowadays. But it's true of position players too. Like, you know, guys aren't going to be, you know, the Atlanta Braves last year were incredibly super good, like stupid, just disgustingly good. But they also had a lot of really good health luck, I guess you could call it luck, whatever you want to call it. A lot of their lineup was intact for most of the year. So the Rays are unfortunately, like most teams in baseball, just they're not going to have that perfect bill of health the whole season. It's just unrealistic to expect that from a lineup or from a roster. So to have built-in redundancies is huge for sure.
Speaking of those built-in redundancies, we get to the last spot on the roster. And this was one where I thought we were going to have a little bit of a conversation when I woke up this morning. Now, not really. I mean, the conversation was going to be a Ronder or Meade. Now, I don't really think there is one. You know, Caminero's down in the minor league camp right now. They don't look to move him up. I don't see a world where Meade isn't on the opening day roster. Do you?
No, yeah, I think he's there. I'll be curious to see if – I know they kind of teased putting him at short a little bit. I don't think that's really come to fruition, so I think they're kind of like, nope, we're good. So it'll be fun to see him play third quite a bit. Maybe he'll spell Harold at the DH spot every now and then or whatever the case is. I'm excited to see Curtis Meade hopefully get, you know, just a chance to make a more solidified role on the Rays roster.
Had a fun game today, too, if you were watching the spring training game. Go-ahead double in the ninth inning with two outs today to win the game. Super fun.
Fun. Yeah, win probability added through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And we hope that he adds some win probability to the major league roster, too, which is what I think he's built for. So now, that's kind of what we're looking at for the opening day roster from the hitting side of things. Now, as we go to the pitching side of things, same thing. We got 13 spots. And similarly, there are some starting roles that are pretty locked in. So we're going to run through some of the roles that are kind of locked in. We don't have much concern about. And then we'll chat a little bit more about some of the spots that were, you know, we think, hey, there's some discussion there. So the ones that I think are kind of locked in are, and maybe you can disagree with me actually on this. I'll let you disagree if you do. On the first four starters, I think are locked. That's Zach Eflin. I think Zach Littell is the number two. Aaron Civale is the three, and Pepio, who also had a great game today, five innings pitched, nice start today. I think he's the four. You disagree or agree?
No, that's pretty solid. I might, like, it's all semantics. Civale and Littell, they're kind of interchangeable in my mind. Although some people say Littell is going to have like an amazing year, which I don't disagree, but I'm also big on Savale too. So you can label them two, three, whatever order you want to put them in. Yeah, that's the first four for sure.
So then we get to the fifth starter. We'll come back to that because that's when we have, there's quite a bit of discussion to be had there. As you go to the bullpen, the closer role is pretty locked down. It's Pete Fairbanks. We know that he is dealing with the Raynaud syndrome, and it's something that the Rays have known about now. If you don't know, Raynaud syndrome is the thing he has with his hands. It creates a pins and needles type of sensation in your fingertips. It is a condition. So they're aware of that now, and I'm certain that the Rays are dealing with that and planning ahead for that. I still think he has the closer spot. He's the most dynamic pitcher on this roster, in my opinion, just like in a one inning sample size, incredibly dynamic guy. And we expect him to retain the closer role. When you get into the rest of the bullpen, you're going to have Phil Maton, who the Rays signed in the offseason. He's going to be a setup guy. You're also going to have Jason Adam, of course, coming back as another setup guy off another pretty good season. Garrett Clevenger is healthy now, and we expect him to be heavily involved in the bullpen. Colin Poche, the oft-besieged Colin Poche, is going to be there. Sean Armstrong, we expect to be there. And then we get to kind of the back end of the bullpen, and then going back up to that fifth starter. This is where the discussion is, because there is a little bit of conversation about what we expect here. So going to the fifth starter spot, in my mind, there's about four options right now. There is Naoki Uwasawa, there is Jacob Wagispack, and Tyler Alexander, and then Jake Odorizzi, who the Rays recently re-signed. Those are kind of the names that are in the running at the moment for the SP5 spot. If you were going to make your guess as to who the Rays are going to give that spot to right now, who would you guess?
I'd probably give it to Uwasawa, but that's not like a confident. It's kind of like a final four pick at this point. Like, I'm just kind of like, that's who I got to pick, you know, is Uwasawa, because I also really like Uwasawa. I think he's going to be really fun. But I know Wagispack had a great spring training. He's looked really good out there as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of ran him out there. Alexander has been everything he's been saying to the press, and he's also looked pretty good. He seems open for anything. You know, he's kind of a typical Rays guy who's just here to just, you know, try to find his way in the majors. So I'm super excited to see him pitch as well, just because, you know, guys like that that are hungry, that are just trying to find their way, they're often pretty successful because they're willing to work with the Rays pitching staff, who obviously know what the heck they're doing. So I'm pretty excited about all of them, but if I had to pick one, it'd be Uwasawa for sure.
So this is an interesting one for me, because I went into the offseason once we assigned Uwasawa, I penciled him in as the fifth starter. My opinion as it is right now, they could put him in that spot confidently, and I think they would be fine with that. I wonder if the Rays may say, take a week or two in the minors, maybe 3 weeks, to refine your stuff just a little bit more, because we have guys who can kind of spell you at the major league level. Wagispack and Alexander are both really good. I think they are going to both be on the opening day roster, but not as a starter. I think that they're going to occupy bulk roles. And the reason why is because you look at this raw, you look at the way that the pitching staff is right now. And if the guy that I think Odorizzi is going to be the fifth starter. I'll get to it in a second. But when you look at Pepio, Odorizzi, Savali, Littell, Eflin is pretty confident he's going to be able to go out there and give you what you need every time. Same with Littell. Pretty sure I feel that way with Savali. And then you get to Pepio and Odorizzi, and you're maybe not sure. The benefit of having Wagispack and Alexander both on the roster to be a reset button. I've talked about this before. I really like that concept of having a guy that you could say, hey, this isn't working out with the starters that we planned this day. Let's send this guy out there to go and pitch three innings so our bullpen isn't destroyed for the next couple of days. I think that's the way the Rays are going to go. They're going to give Odorizzi the fifth spot. I think that's why they brought him in, to give him the fifth spot, to give Uwasawa time to get ready in the minors, to kind of prepare for the season and get all his stuff in order, to get really confident with it, and then bring him back up. Let Odorizzi take a couple innings at the major league to start the season, just to kind of give them that option. And then you have Wagispack and Alexander in the bullpen kind of giving you that length if you need it, whether it's Pepio has a bad start or Odorizzi doesn't have it that day or whomever. You have two guys that you can go to and say, hey, I need a bulk inning. And they both can do one inning, you know, one inning stints too if you need, but they have the ability of that length to where if you need to save the bullpen a little bit, they can do that. So that's where I stand on it. So, and then when we go to the back end of the bullpen, I have Wagispack and Alexander taking two spots. And then the last spot I'm giving to Chris Stavinsky. The reason is the Rays seem to be really confident in him. They seem to believe in him a lot. And Kevin Kelly, now that he has been with the team a year, can now be optioned to the minors. So the Rays can do what I think they're going to do, is just leave Kelly in the minors to start the season. He has looked like fine to start the season, not like amazing. He's looked kind of fine. So then they're going to give him some time in the minors. Stavinsky's looked pretty good. I think they're going to keep Stavinsky at the major league level, keep Waggis Pack, keep Tyler Alexander, let Kevin Kelly, who now can do this because he's been with the team for a year, start in the minors and then just go from there.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that they're gonna be able to option Kevin Kelly, which I'm in agreement with you. You know, no argument here, but like he'd make the majority of most bullpens. You know, he's a quality bullpen arm. So it's just crazy to think that that's just where we are right now with the Rays, where they can just option a guy that's that good to the minors and have him be like a depth piece. And like, yeah, it's just crazy to think about, because in my mind, like before the spring, like in the regular season last year, I was like, oh man, Kevin Kelly, great arm. He's going to be on the roster next year. And like, now I don't know, and it's not even his fault. You know, they have so much depth. It's just insane. So yeah, I'm thrilled at how well they've developed their depth in the offseason and the pitching staff.
If you're looking at your wardrobe right now and you look at it and you think, man, the depth, it's just not there. I'm a little bit thin on my t-shirts, on my hats. I'm weak there. I need to add some depth. I got the place for you. Shop.rblrsports.com, where not only can you add depth, but you can add depth at the Rays price, which is cheaper than everybody else because we're just that good. Promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, to get 10% off everything you want to get there. Shop.rblrsports.com. And you don't have to just get Rays stuff. You got Buck stuff. You've got Lightning stuff. You've got Rowdy stuff. You got great stuff there for all your Tampa Bay sports teams. Shop.rblrsports.com, promo code Flappy, FLAPPY.
Man, I was impressed. I was thinking you were going to go with the Chancellor Palpatine quote, like, I'm weak, you know, that kind of thing from episode.
You know, I think I was a little heavy on the Star Wars. I'm going to pull back on that. Maybe sure. I'll wait for when Acolyte comes out this summer. I'll bring some more Star Wars back then. Stay tuned. Maybe one day we'll do a Star Wars episode of the podcast. I have plenty to say. Big Thrawn fan. Anyway, none of that matters because we're talking about the Rays. Do you have any other thoughts about the 26 man before we move on?
No, I think we pretty much well covered it. Yeah, just a lot of depth across the board. That's all there is to say.
All right. So now that we've talked about who's going to be on the roster, let's talk about who's going to do well and who may not do well. So we're going to do a little segment called Who's Your Bounce Back, Banger, and Bust. And you in the audience, you tell us who your bounce back, banger, and bust are for the Rays this season, and we're going to tell you ours. So, Carter, who's your bounce back?
Oh, I'm going to go with Savale. I know he kind of struggled at the end of last year. I know it's kind of an easy cop-out pick, but it's true. You know, I'm a big believer in him. I think he's got some really, really good pitch shapes and stuff like that. At least that's what I've been told by people way smarter than me. You know, so I'm really excited about Savale coming back and just having a really, really nice season, because the Rays don't trade for players for no reason. And they gave up Manzardo, who's, you know, he was a top 100 prospect at one point, so they wouldn't have traded him if it weren't for a guy who they really believed in. So I have a lot of faith that Savale is going to have a really great 2024.
I'm also going to choose a cop-out answer and choose Brandon Lau, because it's a very easy cop-out answer, because Brandon Lau is the greatest hitter in all baseball. Just go to my Twitter header. If you're ever wondering how I feel about Brandon Lau, you will see it right there. I don't even think I really have to say too much. If he's healthy, he's an MVP candidate. I believe that very, very strongly. So yeah. I believe that this is the year that the baseball gods will bless us with some health for Brandon Lau. And when that happens, we're going to see 40 more bombs, and it's going to be beautiful.
Absolutely. Super thrilled to see Brandon Lau stay healthy. That would be awesome. That's the goal for him.
So, and we're going to intersplice the positive with one negative here. Who's your bust?
Ooh, the bust is a tough one. Because, you know, I like all these guys, really. I don't really have a true bust necessarily, but maybe some regression, I guess, would be a more appropriate way for me to say this would be Isak Paredes, just because, you know, he's got that weird profile, and he's got the ex-Woba concern is a huge thing on online. So, and it's tough to keep up that kind of production. Like, he was the best third baseman in baseball, in my opinion, yeah, last year, like just pure hitting wise. And it's hard to keep that kind of production up. So I think it's going to be not a huge fall off. I wouldn't say bust, but just maybe a little bit of drop in production from Isak, but still a really productive player. I don't think it's necessarily a bust, but like I said, I'm just so thrilled with all these guys that I don't want to pick on anyone. So I'm going to, you know, sit on a fence and say that Isak's going to have a slight regression this season.
Yeah. Isak, you know, the pulled fly ball king. Right, he was, sure. I would say he was probably the second best third baseman in baseball behind Jose Ramirez. Cause
right,
Ramirez is just a legend, but he was really, really good last year. So it's hard to be the best third baseman in baseball or one of the best two seasons in a row. I think he can do it, but who knows? I am going to do something very dumb, and I'm going to choose someone to bust who I have chose to bust many times and have been wrong every time. I'm going to do it anyway. Before I say it, I am just going to point out, when I talk, if you've never heard me talk about this before, I'm just going to tell you, when I talk about somebody being bad or being a bust, the context is in the context of the Rays are a championship level team. So in order to be on a championship level team, you have to contribute something of championship level quality, whatever that may be. You don't have to be like a championship level all-star, but you have to contribute something of championship level quality. If you cannot do that, I do not want you on my roster. No hard feelings. I think Harold is finally going to bust this year. I think it's going to happen, and I'm ready for him to prove me wrong. And part of this is kind of like reverse psychology, because every time we doubt him, he plays better. So I'm like, I'm saying he's going to be a bust because I hope he's going to still be good. But I think he might actually finally bust this year a little bit, but I don't know. But I can say that I did it on purpose so that he'll play well later if he doesn't. So I'm going to just come live in my delusion, and I'm going to call Harold my bust for this year.
Yeah, Harold's a pretty solid. He was my number two choice, but I like Harold. He just seems like such a, you know, positive energy, high energy kind of guy. So I couldn't bring it in my, you know, I'm too emotional. What can I say? I'm just I like Harold. So I couldn't pick him for my bus, because like you said, he is an easy pick to kind of pick on. But yeah, I get it though. I totally get it. He could very well turn out to be that.
So who's your banger?
Ooh, my banger. I mean, y'all have heard me talk, especially last week. I was harping on it a lot during our fantasy draft. Rene Pinto, that's my banger. I mean, he's just going to be so good this year. Even if he doesn't turn out to be an all-star like I think he is, he'll still be one of the most valuable catchers in baseball. Just his frame rate and all the intangibles that he brings to the plate. No pun intended. I'm really excited to see all that stuff, because he's just going to be phenomenal. The Rays are clearly sold on him, and the Rays haven't had like a really amazing catcher since Mike Zunino. Before that, it was Deonner Navarro. So their catching history is kind of rough. So hopefully Rene Pinto can kind of buck that trend a little bit.
That's a really good pick. My banger is actually going to be Zach Littell. I think he is going to go out there and solidify himself as the number two starter in this rotation. And he's going to make a case for himself to stay in the rotation, even when all these guys that we're talking about, you know, the Jeffrey Springs, the Drew Rasmussen, the Shane McClanahan out there, when they come back healthy, he's going to make a case to stay in the rotation when all those guys come back. We've seen the velocity on his fastball be where it needs to be, and maybe even a little bit higher. The spin rates are all really good in spring training. He's playing with a couple of different pitch shapes to really just absolutely destroy hitters. A couple of his starts were just, I mean, absolutely disgusting in this spring training. I expect him to really play well this season. I expect him to earn that number two spot like confidently, to where nobody really doubts that. And I expect him to cement himself as a starter in this rotation going forward.
Yeah, no comment really. Just Littell's awesome. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
So with all that in mind, what is, just really quickly, because we talk about all the positives. We're always positive people here on this show, I think, for the most part. If what is the worst case scenario for the Rays this year?
I think their ceiling is about 500 to 85 wins. So like the sort of the 81 to 85 win range, which, you know, theoretically, I mean, the Diamondbacks made the playoffs last year, and I think they had 84 wins, which I know it's the National League compared to the AL. It's a different world, obviously, but they could still theoretically make the playoffs in that range. But I think that's their floor sort of is 81 to 85 wins. I don't think they're going to have like some catastrophic, you know, nuclear meltdown kind of season, because they have too much good going on to have that happen. So I think their floor is from 81 to 85 wins.
I really agree with you because, again, this goes back to roster construction. The scenario you would have to concoct for, in my opinion, for the Rays to win less than like 80 games this year would be so like absurd that it would, sure. If you concocted that scenario and put it on any other team, they might just sell the team and be done with it. Like, that's how bad it would have to get. You'd have to have like the entire rotation go down, like the top three in the lineup, because there's so much depth at the minor league level that I think that the Rays can still bang out 85 wins. We saw it in 2022. They still banged out, 89, 87 wins that year? I think it was 89 wins. Maybe
I'm around there.
I was around that. They still banged out all those wins, even when all the losses that they had, they still banged out all those wins. So I think that is their floor. Now, that's the floor. What's the ceiling?
Honestly, I think a repeat of last year, 99 wins is an achievable goal. I don't think it's out of this world to think that this team could do that, especially if they get some huge years out of some of the low-key acquisitions that we've been talking about. If Palacios or Caballero or whoever turns out to be a real steal, which the Rays have done countless times, so it'd be silly for us to just completely dismiss that idea. They could very well be leading this offense, and the pitching staff's going to be great. So, I think the ceiling is pretty much 99 wins, potentially winning the AL East, even though it's arguably one of the most competitive divisions in baseball. So, like last season, 99 wins might not win it, but it'll get you darn close. It'll certainly get them into the playoffs, which is all that really matters. So, that's their ceiling, in my opinion.
Yep, I completely agree. 100 wins plus is their ceiling. Winning the AL East, potentially contending for the number one seed in the American League, that's their ceiling. I think it's their ceiling most years. This year, I really do feel that way because the offense is in a really good place. The depth is there. The guys are coming back from injury on the offensive side. The injuries are either minor or non-existent. Knock on wood. it stays that way. But right now, I think that's where they sit. So if that's the floor and that's the ceiling, what is your prediction for the Rays record this season and how they're going to do as it comes to getting into the playoffs? We're going to talk about playoff results. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Stay tuned. But we're just talking about what they will do in the regular season. What are your expectations for the Rays this year?
So I expect them to be around a 90-win team. I think, I hate to be so boring and basic to just, predict the middle of my floor and ceiling, but that's just a very realistic goal for them. The Mariners GM, Jerry DePoto, had this that little quote in the offseason where the goal is 88 wins every year or whatever. And it was just kind of in bad taste because it was like, dude, come on, man. If your goals, you should at least openly say that your goal is to win the World Series. Let's have a little bit of PR sense here. But anyways, their goal should be 90 wins because that should get them into the postseason, which is obviously the main goal because that's what you can control. So, I'm going with 90 wins. That's my prediction.
When you look at how the Rays build their organization and the way that they do things, it's pretty clear that that's kind of what they aim for every year. They aim for around 90, 92 wins because consistently, if you look through the history of baseball, that is what it takes to get into the postseason. So, and their organizational philosophy, this is pretty clearly been, even if they haven't spelt it out in words, you can just observe it and see that this is what the organizational philosophy is. They keep a core of really good guys, really good young guys, and a couple really good pitchers and build a strong bullpen. They aim for about a 90-92 win season, and they make the playoffs. That is what their organizational goal is, and they aim to succeed in the playoffs once they get there. I'm a little bit more of a high flyer than that. I think they're going to win 97 games. I think this division is going to be even tighter than it was last year. I do not think the Orioles are going to run away with it last year. I definitely don't think the Yankees are because they have fallen apart. Woof, my prediction of how bad this team could be without their top guys is looking really good now that their top two guys are out, although we don't want them to be hurt, and I don't have any joy in them being hurt. But I'm more speaking about my being right about the team construction because the roster construction just isn't good, and you're going to see it. Neither of those teams is running away from it. The Blue Jays are not, and the Red Sox are – I don't know what the Red Sox are doing. So this is going to be a tighter division. I think 97 games wins this division this year, and that's how many wins I believe the Rays are going to have to end the season. 97 wins, which comes out to 65 losses and winning the division. Stick around next week, and you might hear what we think we're going to do in the postseason because we're gonna leave a little chicken on the bone for next week. Do you have any other thoughts, opinions, feelings before we go? Because next time that anyone is talking Rays baseball on this show, it's going to be in the season. So, what are your last thoughts before we end out our last off-season show?
No, I don't really have any huge thoughts. Kind of some general stuff, just Man, I'm T-Pain is coming to. He's going to be one of the post-game performances for a concert this year, which is super hype. I watched Ludacris after a Rays game one time when I was like in second grade. It was for my birthday.
That's hilarious.
It was the most hype experience ever. Like, I got to watch him perform. And T-Pain, it's that same, you know, late 2000s era. So I'm super hyped to see T-Pain perform at Tropicana Field. It's just the funniest thing to have those words come out of my mouth. That's really all I have to say, which, of course, it's not actually baseball related. But, you know, still, those are kind of my closing thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I love the things that the Rays are doing to, like, incentivize more fans to come. I think it's really, really cool. I like seeing the Rays do that because, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the Rays attendance over the years. And I like to see them doing more fun things like that. I think they had AJR come last season and be a post-game performer. They do fun stuff. I like to see more of that.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a blast to see more musical performances and what have you.
Well, look, I think that's all we got for today, but we've got a lot, and all this stuff is only going to get even better because next time we talk, we're going to be talking about baseball in the regular season. The Rays will have played, I think, two games by the time we next record, which is super exciting. I'm excited to be talking about Rays regular season baseball. And if you want to hear us talk about Rays regular season baseball, like, subscribe, follow us if you're on Spotify, share it around to all your friends, because it's going to be a fantastic season. I don't mean to undersell it, guys. It's going to be a great year. There's going to be great performances. There's going to be awesome pitching. There's going to be nasty stuff out of the bullpen. There's going to be great swings. There's going to be home runs. It's going to be a very fun season, and you're going to want to be here at the RBLR Rays podcast to hear all the great stuff we have to say about it every single week. Thank you all for joining us once again. We look forward to seeing you back coming forward in the next couple of weeks as this season gets started. It's going to be a great season, guys.
Hell yeah. Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.